Her lips and tongue drew out every word like a big shape in the air. The laundresses, in a cavern full of hissing steam, echoes, falling water, and the thud of wet clothes on stone, watched lips when ears were overwhelmed. When she was listening, her mouth moved all the time, too, like someone trying to dislodge a piece of nut from a tooth. She wore her sleeves rolled up above her elbows. She listened impassively as Blouse introduced the squad.
"I see," she said. "Right, you leave your lads here with me, sir. You ought to get back to the pressing room."
When Blouse had bounced and wobbled back through the steam, Mrs. Enid looked them all up and down and then straight through.
"Lads," she grunted. "Ha! That's all he knows, eh? For a woman to wear the clothes of a man is an abomination unto Nuggan."
"But we're dressed as women, Mrs. Enid," said Polly meekly.
Mrs. Enid's mouth moved ferociously. Then she folded her arms. It was like a barricade going up against all that was ungodly. "It's not right," she said. "I've got a son and a husband prisoner in this place, and I'm working myself to the bone for the enemy just so's I can keep an eye on 'em. They're going to invade, you know. It's amazing what we hear down here. So what good's rescuing your men going to do 'em when we're all under the heel of the Slovenian hand-painted clog, eh?"
"Slovenia will not invade," said Wazza confidently. "The Duchess will see to it. Be not afraid."
Wazza got the sort of look she always got when someone heard her for the first time.
"Been praying, have you?" said Mrs. Enid kindly.
"No, just listening," said Wazza.
"Nuggan talks, do you, does he?"
"No, Nuggan is dead, Mrs. Enid," said Wazza.
Polly took Wazza's matchstick-thin arm and said, "Excuse us a moment, Mrs. Enid." She hustled the girl behind a huge, water-driven clothes mangle. It heaved and clanked as a background to their conversation.
"Wazza, this is getting..."
Polly's native tongue had no word for freaky, but if she had known about the word, she would have welcomed its inclusion.
"Strange. You're worrying people. You can't just go round saying that a god is dead." "God, then. Dwindled, I think," said Wazza, her brow furrowing. "No longer with us."
"We still get the abominations." Wazza tried to concentrate.
"No, they're not real. They're like echoes. Dead voices in an ancient cave bouncing back and forth. The words changing, making nonsense. Like flags that were used for signals but now just flap in the wind."
Wazza's eyes went unfocused and her voice altered, became more adult, more certain.
"And they come from no god. There is no god here now."
"So where do they come from?"
"From your fear. They come from the part that hates the other, that will not change. They come from the sum of all your pettiness and stupidity and dullness. You fear tomorrow, and you've made your fear your god. The Duchess knows this."
The mangle creaked onwards. Around Polly the boilers hissed. Water gushed in the runnels. The air was loaded with the smells of soap and damp cloth.
"I don't believe in the Duchess either," said Polly. "That was just trickery in the woods. Anyone had looked round. It doesn't mean I believe in her." "That doesn't matter, Polly. She believes in you."
"Really?" Polly glanced around the steaming, dripping cave. "Is she here, then? Has she graced us with her presence?" Wazza had no concept of sarcasm. She nodded.
"Yes."
"Yes."
Polly looked behind her. "Did you just say yes?" she demanded.
"Yes," said Wazza.
"Yes."
Polly relaxed.
"Oh, it's an echo. This is a cave, after all.
Which doesn't explain why my voice doesn't come bouncing back."
"Was, I mean Alice," she said thoughtfully.
"Yes, Polly," said Wazza.
"I think it would be a really good idea if you don't talk too much about this to the others," she said. "People don't mind believing in, you know, gods and so on, but they get very nervous if you tell them they're showing up."
She's not going to show up, is she?"
"The person you don't believe in," said Wazza,
showing a flash of spirit.
"I'm not saying she doesn't exist," said Polly weakly. "I just don't believe in her, that's all."
"She's very weak," said Wazza. "I hear her crying in the night."
Polly sought for further information in the pinched-up face, hoping that in some way Wazza was making fun of her. but nothing but puzzled innocence looked back.